Ever feel like you're pouring your heart and soul into something, doing the right thing day in and day out, and you just don't see the results? Maybe it's in your family, your work, your ministry, or even your personal walk with God. That quiet, consistent effort, the choice to keep going even when you're weary. The Bible offers us a powerful promise for these moments. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 tells us, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." There's a harvest connected to our faithfulness, a due season that God has ordained, but it requires us not to give up. Today, we're exploring what it truly means to be faithful even when we're tired.
I want to show you guys something. Oh, I almost dropped it there. Okay. How many of you guys? Wow. Okay. It's more slippery than I expected. Okay, let me do it like this then. Let's see. Can you guys see that right there? All right. Who can tell me what that is? It's a seed, right? This one is actually from a seedless watermelon. You'll have to explain that to me later. But a watermelon seed, and the thing about this seed is that even though you can barely see it, those of you that are in the back, we've got a picture so that you can see a little easier what it might look like. It's easy to overlook something like this. If I would have dropped it on the stage, it probably, you know, would have gone until Bonnie got here to clean up before anybody actually picked the thing up. If I had dropped it on the carpet there, we might never have seen it. It's easy to overlook. It's easy to think that this is just a small thing. It's something that easily gets thrown away, vacuumed up, dropped without even realizing that it's happening. But inside this seed is an entire future. Let me say that again. Inside this seed right here is an entire future. Now, I don't know if seedless watermelon seeds can actually produce anything, but you guys understand the metaphor, right? With the right soil, the right water, and the right time, a seed can become a fruit. Obviously, this is a watermelon seed and this is an apple. But you guys understand the metaphor here. With the right time, with the right attention, with the right care, a seed can become a fruit. It becomes nourishment then. It becomes growth. It becomes, like in the case of an apple, it becomes a tree that could even outlive you. And it all starts with a seed. Now, for most of us in here, this is what we want right here. This fruit right here is what we want. This is what we are hoping for in life, is to get something like this. We want the results of the seed. We want the action. We want the tangible fruit that we can grab, that we can eat, we can ingest, we can enjoy. When we have this thing, then we're feeling pretty good. Now, in our life, we want something similar. We want results, we want recognition, we want influence, we want something that can be seen and that can be enjoyed out of life. But here's the thing, you don't get to fruit without planting a seed. And this has been true across our lives. We've seen this in many different areas, and it's been true in my life. There's been so many times when I've wanted a breakthrough. There's been so many times where I've thought to myself that I've looked at, you know, leadership, or I've looked at things that are happening. I'm like, I could do that better or do that differently, or if I was in charge, I would run things a certain way. And so I've wanted to step up into things. I remember even being a teenager and first getting onto the worship team. Well, actually, even before I was on the worship team, I was just sitting in my room, laying on my floor, listening to music. It was like DC Talk and Audio Adrenaline back then, if you guys remember them. And I would just sit there with my bass laying on the floor right next to the speaker, and I would just try and learn and play the bass riffs that they were playing. And eventually, I was able to practice enough, I planted enough seeds, I watered it enough, that I was able to get onto the worship team. But then as I got onto the worship team, then I started realizing that, you know what, I have some ideas for these songs. It's not enough just for me to play on the worship team, but now I want to be a part of creating and crafting and helping them to put the songs together so that we can get better. And all of the time, when I'm stepping onto the worship team, I've got these ideas in my head, but it's not my time yet. And over the course of a few years, I build up enough reps, I get enough experience that pretty soon when I start talking to the worship leader, they understand that, hey, this guy might know a little bit about music, and so they allow me to contribute. And then fast forward a few more years, and Tiffany and I moved to Oakville, and pretty soon she's leading worship, and I'm leading the band. And we're off, and, you know, kind of the rest is history after that. But it all started with a seed. It all started way back in my bedroom, laying on the floor, listening to Audio Adrenaline and trying to learn the bass riffs, trying to understand what they were doing and why they were doing it. And all of those seeds came forward and produced, you know, what you guys experienced this morning. I wanted more opportunity. I wanted more leadership. I wanted more impact. But God said, start small. Stay steady. Plant the seed. Keep watering. Even when nothing is breaking through the soil just yet. And it's in those hidden seasons that we learn the most about trust, humility, and perseverance. You know, we live in a culture that celebrates what's loud, what's visible, and what's fast. We scroll on our phones past highlight reels of things that are going on. You know, I have some friends that recently went to Disneyland. And they must have posted 7,000 pictures. And every time I opened my phone, there was a new picture of them at Disneyland. And I'm looking and I'm you know, wishing that, okay, God, someday that's going to be me. Someday I'm going to be able to get my family there. And then you know, a week later, there's another friend at Disneyland. And there's a week later, there's another friend at Disneyland. And there's this longing inside of me that says I'm missing out on something. That there's something inside of me that's broken, that's not working right, because I can't get my family to Disneyland and look at all of these people that are doing it. And then you realize, as you talk to them, that they all went through the same two-year process. I just didn't see it. I didn't know how long they saved. I didn't know how hard they worked. I just saw their highlight reel, and I assumed that was everything about them. And the truth is that even though social media absolutely does us no favors, this isn't just a younger generation problem. This is a human problem. Because long before we were looking at our cell phones to compare ourselves, we were trying to keep up with the Joneses next door, right? And they bought a new car, and all of a sudden we wanted a new car, and they planted new seed on their grass, and then we wanted to do the same thing. And they went on a vacation, and we wanted to go on vacation. Long before social media, we were comparing ourselves to each other. And when somebody bursts onto the scene, or when you see a new report, or you hear about somebody getting a new job or a promotion or a new car or things like that, it's easy to assume that they started at the top, that they're an overnight success. But we never see what it took for them to get through, to get to overnight. Lionel Messi said it like this. He said, I start early and I stay late, day after day, year after year. He said, it took me 17 years and 114 days to become an overnight success. Jessica Savage said, I worked half my life to become an overnight success, and it still took me by surprise when it happened. And so we see here that for everybody in life, there's this growing process. But when we see other people reach the mountaintop, we start to compare ourselves to them, and we start to have this fear of missing out. And there's another tension that we need to address as well. A lot of people that are in their 20s and 30s feel like they're ready for more leadership, more voice, more trust. But they often find that those in the older generations are hesitant to let go. Maybe it's fear, maybe it's habit, but it creates a lot of frustration on both sides. But what if instead of fighting for recognition or holding on to control, we all chose to be faithful where God has planted us? What if the younger generation said, I'm going to show up consistently. I'm going to do the right things day in and day out. I'm going to build trust by how I live, not just by what I say. And what if the older generation then responded, I will invest in the next generation of leaders. I'm going to create the space that other people need to grow, even if it means that things have to change a little bit to get there. You see, if we could all be faithful to what God is calling us to, we would see so much more for the kingdom. Imagine if the generations could come and work together. Imagine the wisdom that could be poured into some of these younger lives so that they don't have to start figuring things out, but they can start with a leg up, right? They can start with that wisdom that comes only from experience. Imagine what that would look like if we could work together and be faithful together. And I think that this is the kind of intergenerational culture that God honors. But instead, we have a group of people that won't listen that are being led by a group of people that won't let go. And that's challenging, isn't it? Because nobody is working together. And so we see then that things are broken. We're in week 7 of our series on core values. We've been working our way through all of the different things. These are statements of who we are becoming. And we acknowledge that this isn't where we've arrived to, but I think that this one, more than any of the others, typifies the people that are in this church. As I've gotten to know you guys over the last 4 years, I've seen this lived out in big ways and in small ways, where we are becoming faithful. So our core value then is that we are faithful in the small things, trusting God for greater opportunities. And I've seen how you guys show up for kids ministry over and over and over again, or you're there at the door week in and week out, or you're on the worship team, or you're back in the sound booth, and you're faithful to what God has called you to do. But what do we do when we know that we're ready for more, and yet the door isn't opening up for us? Well, Jesus tells a story to a group of his disciples to show how God has entrusted something special to each of us, and what we do with it matters. God has entrusted something special to each of us, and what we do with it matters. If you guys have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to look at a story that Jesus told about a king who went on a journey. And as he left for the journey, he entrusted some resources to a group of people. And Jesus tells this story to help us understand what God has entrusted to us. Matthew 25, verse 14. Matthew 25, 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work, gaining 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. So Jesus tells this parable, and we're going to see in just a minute how the master responds, and it really gives us a picture of the type of person or a characteristic that a person can have that makes God happy and that God would approve of. And so he has these 3 different servants, and he entrusts them 3 differing amounts based on their abilities. He says, okay, you've proved yourself already. I've seen you. I've watched you work. I'm going to give you 5 bags of gold. He has another servant that comes up, and he's like, okay, I'm going to trust you too, because I've got to do this. Here's 2 bags of gold for you. And then to the last one, he says, okay, I'm going to give you 1 bag, and I want to see what you can do with it. I've always wanted to be a 5 bag of gold type of person. I don't know about you guys, but I've always in my heart, I've striven to have this personality where the master can trust me with everything, where he can trust me with the most, and that I'm going to be the type of person that stewards it well. I don't know if I am, but I've always had that idea that I want to be the type of person that God can trust to carry out his will. And I think our question today is, do you? Do you want to be that type of person? And so then after his trip, the master comes back and he starts to settle accounts with his servants. Verse 19, after a long time, Jesus says, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. come and share your master's happiness. You see, he's invited to share into the happiness of his master. His master was pleased with his faithfulness. And because of that, the man was invited to come and to share in that happiness. Then he says, verse 22, the man with two bags also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful to a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Now, I'm going to go ahead and pause right there. Those of you guys that have been in church for a while, you know the rest of the story. But let's just stop with the guy with five bags and the guy with two bags for just a minute. Because what we see here is that God promotes the faithful, not the flashy. Now, both of these guys ended up with results, but it wasn't the results that the master was most interested in. It was the faithfulness. It was the being willing to take the resources that were given to them and being willing to share those things with others. And we see that God is watching what we do in the little. He's watching how we treat the little things in life, the things that nobody else applauds. And he says, I can build something bigger on that. So let's unpack this for a minute. Faithfulness then isn't about what you have, it's about what you do with it. Faithfulness isn't about what you've been given, it's not about the resources that you've accumulated in life, it's about what you do with the things that you've been given. Amen? It's about being faithful where God has called you. The servant with five bags of gold didn't get a better reward than the one with two. The praise that they received was exactly the same. Come and share in your master's happiness. Because the reward wasn't based on the amount that they produced, it was based on the faithfulness that they demonstrated. You started with less, and so there's less expected of you. If you start with more, you're charged with more. This is a huge encouragement then for those that feel like they don't have much. Maybe you feel like others have more talent than you, more opportunity, more favor, but the master isn't looking for the flashiest return. He's looking for faithful investment. I remember a few years ago, Tiffany and I were talking with her aunt, who's a phenomenally gifted piano player. And so she was playing, and we're looking at her like, man, it's not fair that you can play like that. It's just not fair. Like, look at, I mean, the way her fingers fly, the way that she can compose things. She's playing all of the keys at the same time. It's like she grew eight extra fingers. I don't know. But you see her play, and you're just amazed by it. And I'm like, it's not even fair. And then, like, God stopped me and spoke to me in that moment. And he said, actually, it's the most fair thing ever. It's the most fair thing that there could possibly be, because she wasn't born knowing how to play piano. She doesn't have an extra set of fingers or extra long fingers that lets her play piano better. Instead, it's about all of the times where she sat at the piano and practiced and learned to read music and learned to play more and more complicated pieces. It's actually the most fair thing in the world that she continually invested her talent, and now she's at the point where she's at. It feels unfair when you see somebody at their peak. But you realize that it's not the result of a one time God just gave them five bags of gold, but it was that they invested over and over and over again. You see, God understands, because he created it, God understands the power of compound interest. When you are faithful in investing, when you're faithful in working things through, it doesn't show up right away. But over the long term, you see the benefits of what God wants to do in your life. Because God is growing your capacity. He's taking what you invested. And so the guy with five bags probably didn't start with five bags. He didn't start with five bag capacity. He worked his way up to that point. He had proved himself faithful to the master over and over and over again, so that when the master went away, he knew that he could trust him with five bags. It's the same thing in our life. You see, God sees the little, and he multiplies it. God sees the little, and he multiplies it. The servant who was faithful with a few things was given more, not because he chased promotion, but because he honored his assignment. This is God's math. If you show up to pray when no one else sees it, God sees it. If you mentor a student who's showing up inconsistently, God sees it. If you stay after church to stack chairs or to help clean things up, God sees that. If you come early and sweep the leaves in the front, God sees what you're doing. You love the person who gets on your nerves, God sees that too. You might be in a season where you feel like you're not making much progress. Mothers of young children often feel this way. In fact, I remember we had a season of life where we were doing foster care, and we were constantly bringing newborn babies home from the hospital. And these babies that we brought in were drug addicted. They were having some serious health crises. And what it meant that was for a season, Tiffany had to take a step back so that she could invest in these babies, so that she could invest in these kids. But what it meant was then she wasn't as available as she wanted to be for church things. There were events that she couldn't show up for. There was opportunities that she might normally have taken advantage of that she couldn't do anymore. And it felt like, to her, like she was being put on the back burner. It felt like she couldn't make the progress that she wanted to make. And for young mothers in here, the routine of life might leave you feeling like you can't get ahead. You've had to take a step back from your career, your business, the thing that you've been building. You've had to take a step back from those things. And yet, what I want to encourage you with today is that you are building muscles that are going to last you the rest of your life. Being faithful in that season is building muscles for the future. You're watering that seed that is going to grow, not just in your life, but also in the life of your kids, also in the life of your babies. As you're faithful to walk with them through this season, God is going to bless them, and he's going to bless you as well. And the investment that you make into giving your kids the love and peace that they crave is going to set them up for success later on as well. So God sees your faithfulness, and God will reward your faithfulness. Let me say that again. God sees your faithfulness, and God wants to reward your faithfulness. And then what we see, our third point today, is that faithfulness brings joy. Faithfulness brings joy. And the end of this, these two people that Jesus highlights, he says, come and share in your master's happiness. Because faithfulness isn't about promotion or getting more responsibility or having more leadership gifts or things like that. It's about the joy that God has for us. When we're faithful in season and out of season, when we're always there, always showing up, always doing the right thing, when we're being consistently good over time, that's the type of thing that makes God smile. That's the type of thing that makes God want to bless you. And when you do that, there is deep joy that comes to your life. It's not just you did your job. It's God saying, I'm proud of you. And let's celebrate together. Because that's the heart of the Father. God's reward for faithfulness isn't just more responsibility. It's joy and it's trust. Now let's look at that third guy. Verse 24. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. He said, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I just want to ask you a question. Does that sound like God to you? Harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Does that sound like God to you? This guy is working with an incorrect assumption of who his master is. He says, so I was afraid and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money in the bank so that when I returned, at least I would have received it back with interest. He says, so take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken away from them. And so what we see here is that the man has a distorted view of who his master is. He has a distorted perception of who God is. He says, I knew you to be a hard man. I knew you to be a critical man. I knew that if I messed up, that I was going to be punished, so I didn't want to mess up. And I knew that the punishment was going to be worse than the reward was going to be great. And because of that, I didn't want to mess up. He didn't see his master as being generous. He didn't see his master as being kind. He didn't see his master as being loving. He assumed the worst about his master, that he was demanding, that he was impossible to please, that he was maybe even exploitative. And so he had this fear inside of him that kept him from even trying. And then the second thing, he believed that failure would be punished even more than effort was rewarded. He didn't think his master would appreciate the effort. He thought that if he messed up, he'd get in trouble. So rather than risk failing, he did nothing at all. His fear of failure outweighed his faith in his master's character. And then number three, he misunderstood his responsibility. The first two servants took ownership and acted in line with the master's heart. They knew who he was. They knew what he expected. And so they acted in line with that. But the third servant just tried not to mess up. He allowed that fear of failure to trap him and to keep him bound. I don't know about you. Maybe you're in here today and you see God as being somebody that is hard to please. And therefore you play it safe, burying your gifts rather than risking failure. Maybe you see God as being uninterested in the small things, and so you don't worry about showing up consistently because what does it matter anyway? I don't have to do anything. There's not going to be a consequence for my actions. Or maybe you see God as only using the super spiritual or the super talented, and so you disqualify yourself from serving because you say that you're not good enough anyway, so what does it matter? Maybe you see God as being distant or being uninvolved, and so you don't trust that he's placed something valuable in you for you to use for his kingdom. Maybe you see God as demanding but not rewarding, so you grow weary thinking that your effort won't lead to anything worthwhile. But I'd ask you today, what if your view of God isn't accurate? What if you're missing out on the joy that God wants to give you because you're hiding away? Because you're allowing your perception of God to skew the things that God wants you to do? What if God isn't harsh or distant or impossible to please, but he's actually loving, he's present, and he's deeply invested in you being faithful? What if the small hidden things that you're doing right now matter more than you realize? Paul encourages us in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. See, when you believe that God sees you, that he values your effort, and that he rewards your faithfulness, you can keep going even when the results aren't immediate. Even when you feel overlooked. Even when nobody else notices. Because God does. And your harvest is coming. If I could have the worship team go ahead and join me on stage. I want to go back to this seed for a second. And I want to ask you guys, are you feeling like you've been buried? Like you're overlooked? Like you're hidden away? Are you feeling like you've been forgotten by God? You're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to live faithfully, and yet it feels like you're not seeing any of the results. Are you feeling that way today? The question we need to ask ourselves today then is, what if you're not buried? What if you were planted? What if God has planted you and he's expecting something to grow up in your life? What if this season of smallness is actually the soil where your character is growing, where your integrity is being developed, where your roots are deepening and your fruit is forming? What if this is what God wants for you in this season? So to those who are younger in here, I want to say, keep being faithful with your time. Keep showing up in your marriage. Keep serving with excellence at work. Keep investing in your kids. Keep honoring your responsibilities. Don't resent the seed stage that you're in. I want you to lean into it. Because promotion is coming. But character has to come first. Don't try to rush what God is growing. Next week, we're going to celebrate Pentecost Sunday. We're going to look at the seed that God has planted in each of us of his Holy Spirit that wants to help us in this growing process. And then on Father's Day, we're going to talk about the importance of character and integrity in our life. We're going to see how the things that are being developed in us in this stage will carry us through to the rest of our lives. We've all seen people that were promoted too soon. We've all worked under bosses that didn't have the character to support the position that they were in. We've all had opportunities in life to see people who got to a certain level and then failed spectacularly because the building that was built didn't have a foundation that could support it. Imagine right now if we went to the Empire State Building and we decided, okay, we're going to add 25 more floors to the Empire State Building. You wouldn't start at the roof and start building up. You would start by building out the base so that it could support the work that was being done up top, because if you didn't support the base, then the whole thing would fall over at some point. And it's the same way with us. God is building our base so that he can better support the things that he wants to do in our life. And to those of us that are further along in years, I want to ask you, who are you mentoring? Who are you investing in? You see people in the seed stage. Are you choosing to water them? Are you choosing to help them out? Are you choosing to invest in their life? Are you giving them opportunities to grow and to become more? We've got so much wealth of wisdom and experience in this place. And I so appreciate the people that have stepped up to work with the teens in our church. We've got several people on our youth staff that are already retired. And to see them interacting with the teenagers, to see them sharing the nuggets of wisdom they've gained over a lifetime of serving God, it's incredible to watch. It's amazing to see how God is using that to touch lives. We shared a testimony a couple months ago of a girl who got saved and who was able to, had somebody to speak into her life. And it was because of this, somebody had God had deposited something in Martha. And when Martha then spoke into this girl's life, God used it to touch her. And God used it to change her life. And so for those of us that are older, then we want to ask, who are you mentoring? Who are you cheering on behind the scenes? Are you willing to release your grip so that somebody else can rise up? And are you willing then to pour into them and to invest in them? Are you being faithful in the season that God has you in right now? Because legacy isn't about keeping your spot. It's about raising others to higher than where you made it, right? That's what God wants for us. That's what we want for our kids. And this is what we should want for the body of Christ, is to see the next generation propelled forward, to see them grow, and to see them step into everything that God has for them. As a church, we're not chasing hype. We don't measure worth by crowds, clicks, or by applause, but we're building faithfulness. This means that we're faithful in prayer, even when it's not flashy, that we're faithful in giving, even when our budget is tight, that we're faithful in raising up new leaders, even when it's messy, that we're faithful in showing up, even when it's inconvenient, because we're a church of seed planters. We are a church of people that plant seeds, because faithfulness in the small things leads to fruitfulness in the big things. This is what I want to encourage us. This is what I want to close with tonight, or this morning, is faithfulness in the small leads to fruitfulness in the big. It's not about climbing a ladder. It's about building a legacy. And this is what God has for us today.